Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John and chapter 3. Gospel of John and chapter 3. I know that passage. You probably know that passage. I'm trusting today that God will give us some great things from that, from this very text. Now, I'm preaching this chapter today, a biggest portion of this chapter. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach Gospel Dynamite. Yeah, that'll be chapter 4. And I'll share with you some truths that you and I both need to be reminded of, but some are brand new to some folks that are here this morning, and we'll be here next Sunday morning. So please pray concerning that. Let me read the first three verses of this chapter. Now, here's what's happened. In chapter 2, Jesus has performed his first miracle. His ministry is now starting. He turned the water into wine at the marriage of Cana. Not an intoxicating drink. That's another sermon altogether. Turned it into oinos. All right, turned it into wine. Then they're on the way to the Passover to celebrate the Passover. And he cleanses the temple. And then he heals the sick. And he makes this statement in his prophecy. You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up again. And the self-righteous said, it took 46 years to build this temple. And you say you can build it, you can. And he was talking about his own body. He was talking about the resurrection. And his disciples remembered this passage, what he said to them later on after he rose from the dead. Hey, Jesus said he was going to do it. In fact, he said it on several occasions, speaking of his resurrection. And then on the Passover, he did all kinds of miracles. It tells us that in verse 23. And many believed. Now look at verses 1 through 3 in chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Father, we come to you this morning as a very needy people. God, we know the need of the world is Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the cross, that's what the church is carrying as far as the light. And God, help us to be faithful in that. God, would you bless in the preaching of your word this morning? What I have written down, what I have preconceived that I'm going to preach, because you taught me this week, Lord, that is not important. What is important is this Bible text, get all over your children. And Lord, for the saint of God, we would be encouraged. For the saint of God, we would remember. And Lord, for the sinner, for that one that isn't born again, God, that they would hear the message of being born into the family of God, and may it make complete sense, maybe for the first time. And if not for the first time, today, either way, they receive Jesus as their personal Savior. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I understand this is one of the hard things about pastoring a church of any size, to meet the needs of all the people in the preaching. That'll never happen in one message. I understand that what I'm going to preach this morning is really the milk of God's word. But there are several families here this morning, and you've been born again in the recent past. This is going to encourage you. There are others that are here this morning, maybe not even born again, and I want to help you to understand. It's called the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. And for everybody that is born again, it ought to be refreshing for you. It really ought to, what God has done for us, and then also to fortify what you already know. And I will say this, if you're hungry for the word of God, come to Sunday school. Don't just come to morning preaching. Don't just come to Sunday evening preaching. Don't just come to prayer meeting. Come to Sunday school. Man, we have studied through the book of Hebrews through these winter months, and there is nothing as deep as the book of Hebrews. And man, it is just, It just covers all of the bases. And it's so apropos for the day and age in which we live. And we're not quite through. We thought we were going to be through this morning. At least I did. But we're going to be through this next Sunday. Come to Sunday school. Grow in the Word of God. Because in Sunday school, we go line upon line, verse after verse. We study the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Word of God. And I'll tell you, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be in the book of Romans. What a doctrinal book. So you come and get the meat of God's Word. This morning, let's have a glass of milk. Let's be reminded of how good God, our God is, and what he has done for us and is wanting to do through us and reaching other people for Jesus. Let's get our feet on the ground. Springtime is coming. I know some of your hearts were broken this morning when the snow started, and it didn't start till about 9 o'clock. We had a bare parking lot, but you and I, we all, and Pastor Josh alluded to this, we all know your heart, if you think the weather is going to bring you satisfaction, your heart is going to get broken several times before Easter Sunday morning. Just take it for what God gives. Let's get our feet on the ground here this morning. We got a lot going on in the next several weeks. I know spring break starts this week. I understand that. And Maplewood's going to be out of class, and public schools, government schools, you'll be out of class. Everybody's looking forward to spring break, but we got to get our feet on the ground. We've got to prepare for what's in front of us. Our Easter specials are in front of us, and by the way, we have nailed down four stations for our Easter special on Sunday morning, television stations for our Easter special. So now we got to hit it. We got Palm Sunday coming up. We've got the Maplewood play is coming up. We've got graduations and open houses. That's going to be here before you know it. Then we're going to be into camp. School's going to finally get out, and we start Camp Canaan Land. And man, there are people talking about camp already. And even money gifts, love gifts are coming in towards scholarships already. I'm excited about what God is going to do, but we got to get our feet on the ground. John in chapter 3, I can think of no better place to do it than in John and chapter 3. And it says again in verse 1, let me read it here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man was a religionist. This man was a Pharisee. This man was a member, I believe, of the Sanhedrin. This man was a teacher. He was a rabbi, one of the leading teachers in the nation Israel. But he was empty on the inside, and he was able to identify that emptiness. If you're here this morning or watching live stream or listening to a radio broadcast and you've not been born again, you know what that emptiness is all about. It wasn't too many years ago I was preaching a revival. It was a one-day meeting down in Jackson, Michigan, and an 85-year-old man got saved. I thought he was a deacon. Man, he was sitting near the front of the auditorium. He had white, wavy hair, beautiful hair, maybe jealous, beautiful looking hair, had a three-piece suit on. And I thought, man, that guy's a deacon. And, you know, and he just listened closely to every word I preached. That Sunday morning when I gave the altar call, he came forward and a personal worker took him aside. And the next thing I heard from this guy, and I won't call him out by name, he actually watches live stream now, but the next time I heard his voice, church had been done for 10 minutes. And it was out in the foyer, and he yelled it. This dignified old man yelled it at the edge of the foyer, "I got it!" And I said, what in the world's going on? And he was talking about salvation. He was talking about, he said, "Preacher, I want to thank you for coming." He took my hand. He said, "I've been afraid to close my eyes at night. I was afraid I was going to die in my sleep and go to hell. But I understood the gospel this morning. I got it." It's called the new birth. Amen. It's called being born again, saved, all Bible terms. It's called being redeemed. It's regenerated. Those are all Bible terms. That's for being born again. So here's Nicodemus. And I would ask you the question this morning, by the way. Do you have it? Do you know for sure that you're born again? There's so many people traveling in a fog, hoping they're saved. Are you willing to gamble with your eternal soul? What do you mean hoping you're saved? The Bible says it's a no-so salvation. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Man, don't, and maybe you're listening this morning and you've never heard the gospel. Man, come to Christ and come to Christ this morning. So here is this man named Nicodemus. He's a rabbi of the Jews. He's a ruler. He is a teacher of the Jews. He's a preacher, and he's empty on the inside. He comes to Jesus by night, perhaps because of embarrassment. This prophet from Nazareth, I don't want my peers to see me coming to him. But at night, there's a knock on the door, if that's the case. And he comes to Jesus, and he said, "Rabbi, teacher, I know you're a teacher from God. I've seen your miracles. And he wants the answer to the biggest question man has ever asked. Where am I going to spend eternity? How can I go to heaven? And Jesus answers his question with some language that we will understand. He doesn't use some highfalutin theological $64 word. That's not, he talks about birth. Language that we can understand. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans in chapter 7 very quickly. Romans in chapter 7 before I go to the very next verse. Nicodemus is desperate. Nicodemus is in need. He is a student of the Word of God, but he knows he doesn't have what Jesus has. He doesn't have what Jesus' disciples have. He's never experienced that new birth. I want to back up. Jesus didn't need to be born again. That didn't come out right. So in case you're here with a critical heart saying, I know Jesus is the Savior. He is life. He is salvation. But Nicodemus recognized, man, I want what they have. I'm empty on the inside. Romans in chapter 7, verse 7. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. I would like, even if this ends up being a third of the message, I want to read a little passage here this morning and trust that you'll understand. D.L. Moody said it this way. You can't get saved unless you know you're lost. You need to know that you need Jesus or you're going to hell. It says here in Romans in chapter 7, verse 7, Paul here is speaking about the law. The law, the Bible tells us, is our schoolmaster. It teaches us we need a Savior. Because whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he's guilty of all. How many people over the years I've witnessed to them and said they have this idea that they're going to go to heaven by keeping the law. I said, you know, like the Ten Commandments? Yeah, like the Ten Commandments. Can you quote the Ten Commandments? Nobody ever can. If you don't know what they are, how are you going to be able to keep them? The Bible says we are a fallen people. We are in need of the Savior. Look what it says in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Strongest words Paul could use, God forbid. The law is good. He's going to come out and say that in a moment. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. The law codified sin. The law is the revealer of sin. You and me, in our wicked hearts, I could rationalize any sin that I'm involved in. It wouldn't even take a whole generation. And then we'd call that which is evil, good. And that which is good, evil. So God wrote it down for us. And it teaches us, we recognize, I know, I'm a sinner. I know, I have fallen short of the holiness of God. I have violated the holiness of God. I'm a sinner man. He says in verse 8, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence or lust. For without the law, sin was dead. Again, just simply put, sin is the law is a revealer of sin. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Like Nicodemus, you realize that you failed. You realize that you are fallen because of the law. Verse 10 says, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. So in other words, the law, which is holy, I could not attain. So I recognize I was a sinner in need of a Savior. That is the purpose. You cannot get saved unless you know that you're lost. It says in verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Because we have the Bible, because we have the commands of God, because we have the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and the 600 other commandments in the Old Testament, because we have the law, we recognize I don't have to be as good as Greg in order to go to God's heaven. Because Greg isn't good enough, and I am not good enough. That Jesus, he is our way to heaven, all right? Let's go on here. Skip all the way down to verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. When the dust settles and the clouds rise, the victory is found in Christ. Paul here says in the book of Romans, the law shows us we're sinners. I'm condemned, I am lost. Nicodemus, go back to John in chapter 3, recognized that he was empty on the inside, that he needed more than what he had, what religion would give him, what ritual would give him. He needed something more. And he goes to Jesus, and Jesus cuts right to the quick. He doesn't waste any time. Look what it says in verse 2. Says, that same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's interesting. He didn't even ask the question. But Jesus knows what he's come for. And he said, Lord, Jesus, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No man can do the miracles except that he be from God. I recognize that you're from God. I'm missing something. And Jesus cuts right to the quick. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He uses terminology that Nicodemus is going to be explained to him, could understand, that we could understand right now in the 21st century. We all understand birth. We all understand what it is for a precious little baby to be born into this world and created by God through mom and dad. And there it is, a brand new soul and a brand new life. And it's a wonderful thing, that moment of birth. I can honestly say I was not in the delivery room for any of my five children. And I can honestly say, and I know some of you are gonna accost me right after the service, I know that. I can honestly say as a dad, I'm glad I wasn't there. I am glad that I was in the waiting room. I'm glad, I just am. You say, well, you don't know what you missed. That's fine, I'll just keep it that way, all right? But I have been there when people have gotten born again. I know that joy. I know that, and there's no blood there either. I know that joy, and I know that happiness. And Jesus said to him, before Nicodemus even asked, Lord, I know you're a teacher from God. I know you're a prophet of God. I see the miracle, what you're doing, nobody could do it unless you're of God. And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know, Nicodemus in his heart said, man, how do you know that's what I was here for? Let's read on here. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, amen and amen. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now be a Bible student. You understand water here, there's no reference to baptism. Baptism does not save. That is natural birth. The next verse, Bible Interpreting Bible, the next verse explains it to us. That's that amniotic water, that fluid that surrounds the baby. Then the water breaks and the baby is born. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus said, there needs to be new birth. You need to be born a second time. Not a reformation, not turning the page, not a second chance or a third chance or a tenth chance where you start over again. There needs to be a birth that can only come from God. And by the way, that word birth right here, that word born right here is athanon. That's the Greek word in the Textus Receptus. It means from above, born from above. That is the work of God. Born of the Spirit of God. Jesus said a man's got to be born by the flesh. He needs to be born into this world. And then he needs to be born of the Spirit. That's spiritual birth. That's birth. That's God's part. That's the part that only God can do. And it's starting to think. It's starting to click here in Nicodemus's head as he's having this explained to him. Verse 5 again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's flesh, and of the Spirit, that's God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, there needs to be a second birth. There needs to be new birth. You need to be born of the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh, that's the water, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Five times in the Gospel of John, it speaks of Holy Spirit being born of the Holy Spirit into the family of God. Now, that word born is used many times in the Bible. I got it written down here somewhere. 280 some times is what it's used. Born from above is actually used 31 times. And born again or born anew three times, once in the book of Peter and twice here in the book of John. But listen to what Jesus said. Nicodemus, I know what your need is. Eternal life. You are a dead man spiritually. That's why you're empty on the inside. Except a man be born of the flesh and of the spirit, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, again I say unto you, ye must be born again, anew, from above. You see, that's the way to heaven. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a heart thing where you call out to God. It's not a ritual. It's not a chant. It's not lighting a candle. It's not getting baptized. It's a heart cry as a sinner man, like the sinner outside the temple. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all it takes. Like the thief on the cross, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Great illustration there. I'll share that sometime in the future. I shared it in Sunday school. Man, all I know is the guy in the middle cross told me I could come. That's as far as heaven. That's being born again. A heart cry to the Savior, and you call out to him, and he always hears that prayer. If it's a heart cry, if you mean it, If it's there, it's you see your need. That's where the law comes in. That's where repentance comes in. You see your need. Man, I'm lost. Man, I'm going to hell. Here's this rabbi, Nicodemus. He said, man, I'm empty on the inside. I hear Jesus speak and it lights a fire. Something, I'm missing something. I see the joy that his disciples have and that his followers have, and something's missing. This Nicodemus, he's a deep thinking guy. And Jesus said to him, man, you've been a ruler in Jerusalem for how long? And you don't understand? Listen to me. Here, you have got to be born again, born anew, born from above. Let's go on here because I got a little bit more to cover. Verse 7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, man, I know this is bigger. It's boom, as far as your brain is concerned. You know, the fact that Tim Rader could go to heaven, that the fact that Tim Rader is a son of God, you have got to be kidding. But God's not kidding. And the gospel is real. And I was born again. I did receive Jesus as my Savior. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. You know what he's saying? Salvation, the born again experience, that's God's part. Just trust me. Like the wind, you can't see it, but you know it. You feel it. He said, just trust me. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? People come to you for Bible answers, a member of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, and you don't understand this? Verily, verily, there's that amen again. I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Jesus, as far as salvation, the Son of God, he's the expert in this. And he says in verse 12, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus simply says, if you're here this morning, you're not sure you're born again. Jesus simply says this, I'm the Son of God. I know. I'm the one that's going to go to Calvary. I'm the one that's going to die for sinners. This thing, born again, if you can trust anybody, you can trust Jesus. Last Sunday morning, I preached that message. You can take it to the bank. You can take this to the bank. It is never going to change. It is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're here in the auditorium and your salvation is a little bit foggy and you're just kind of I hope I'm saved. Can I just put the cookies on the lower shelf just so you can understand? This is what Jesus was doing. He used birth as an illustration. Said, you were born physically, you need to be born spiritually. Amen. You need to be adopted into the family of God. cleansed by the Holy Spirit of God, the atoning blood of the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to go to God's heaven. Verse 14 says, and as Moses, illustration, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I hope you know your Bible enough to know what that's he's speaking of there. I can't go there. There's not enough time. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And all they had to do was look and live. They looked and they lived. And the same with Jesus. He was lifted up. For 6 hours, he hung suspended between heaven and earth. For 6 hours, he bled out. For 6 hours, he had the weight of the sins of the world, of every generation of this world upon his body. And he took our sins upon his body. He paid the price for our sin. It says in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The blood of Christ alone makes me safe. The word of God alone makes me sure. These things have I written unto you, the Bible, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. Listen to your preacher this morning. We don't have long in this world. Our Savior is returning. Some are going to go by way of the grave unless he comes in the next several moments before that rapture ever takes place. The sands of time, the clock is ticking away. Man, the sands of time are drifting away. It's time is coming to a close as far as the church age. You need to make sure that you are a part of the family of God. Make sure that you are born again. John said, whosoever hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's as simple as this. You're a sinner, he's the Savior, the only Savior, the only begotten Son of God. He is it. And if you have Jesus, you have eternal life. Say, preacher, how do I get Jesus? A heart cry. I'll come back to that in a moment. I want to read another verse. Look at verse 16. It's a verse you know well. 25 of the greatest words ever penned. 25 of the greatest words ever spoken. Probably more people have been born into the family of God because of these next 25 words than any other passage in the scripture. It says, for God so, underline it. You could preach a sermon on every word in this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, how do you believe? Your heart. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have, what kind of life? Everlasting life. It tells us in the next verse, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, because you see the law does that. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I'm about done. Let me just close this by saying this. You don't want the wrath of God. Man, you don't want to go to hell when you die. You want Jesus as your Savior. And he says, he that hath the Son hath life. Say, pastor, how do I get the Son? This born again thing, this born anew, this born from above, this work of God, how does it happen in my life? Knowing you're a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, understanding there's a penalty for sin, for the wages of sin is death, and understand the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, I think I'm saved. You better know you're saved. If you just think you're saved, you might not be saved. I'm not trying to scare you out of your salvation. Once you're his, you're his. Jesus never said you need to be born again and again and again and again. He said you just need a second birth. You need to be adopted into the family of God. If you're not there, get there this morning. I'll help you. For church family, for people that are here and you're 10 regular, we got so much in front of us. Man, don't think for a moment, man, we got through the winter, we survived. Oh, praise God, we made it. Well, we aren't quite through the winter yet. And it is horizontal out there right now, even as I'm preaching right now. But you know what? We're not through it yet, you know. But we got to get our feet on the ground. There's so much that needs to be done. There's so many that yet need to be reached with the truth.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader. senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.